Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio. I'm here with my friend and co-author Nancy Saxton Lopez and a special guest who we'll be introducing in just a moment. This is a program that we do live on Facebook and YouTube every Thursday from 6 p.m. Eastern time to about 6:30, give or take. And it grew out of our book, The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. And with this relatively new medium, Nancy and I are able to connect with a broader audience and contemporaneously. So this is an opportunity for us to many times share stories that you send to us and give some commentary on them. And you can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. And you can reach Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. And all the information that I'm sharing in the beginning is in our in the description that accompanies the program, whether you're watching it on YouTube or Facebook or a replay on one of the podcast outlets. And if you do write to us with your story, and we very much appreciate that if you do, please just let us know if we can share it with our audience. And we only share first names. And if there are any parts of it that you'd rather we didn't share, just let us know about that as well. And if you would prefer that we don't share it, we will still respond to you and give you our thoughts in an email in return. Also, you can let us know that you think there are topics that would be great for us to delve into. And you can also suggest guests. There are a number of ways that you can support our program. One is to subscribe to our Substack. You can read all of our email correspondence with a number of listeners, and you can see the photographs that they share with us. That costs $5 a month. It's a way to support our program in addition to seeing that content. Also, you can support us through Venmo or PayPal or a monthly subscription. This program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society, which is based in Springfield, Massachusetts. And Dakin does all kinds of wonderful things. In addition to rescuing animals and providing an adoption service, they have programs for the community. And one of those is a pet loss support group over Zoom that I facilitate every month. It's on the second Tuesday, and it runs 6 p.m. Eastern time till 7:30 p.m. And you'll find the RSVP link for the next one, which is on March 12th, attached to this program in the description. And I'll let you know again that it's cost-free, and people join from all over the world. Really, really interesting, the different perspectives that people bring. And also, I will ask you, if you are interested in joining that group, please do so soon, because we cap it, because it gets really large if we don't do that. So we cap it. And we usually have a number of about 25 or so, something like that. And also, please consider subscribing on YouTube. If you subscribe on YouTube to this program, it alerts other people who are looking for this kind of support to the program's existence, and that's really helpful. And also, if you put a comment or you give a thumbs up wherever you find this, that's also helpful. And then we also want to let you know that this program, we have an alliance with a group that is called
Bereaved.
And I forgot to put, here it is. Here's their information. Bereaved makes these really wonderful granite memorial plaques that are engraved with a photograph of your beloved pet and also whatever information you'd like to share. They can be put outside as a marker in a memorial garden or a gravesite. You can also just keep them inside if that suits your needs better. And Nancy, actually, I think is
probably. I have one. Up. I have Bailey here.
The example that they
really
gave.
Really a we nice.
Certainly didn't want to. We didn't want to promote their business if we actually didn't know what they were doing. So they showed us the plaque, and it's really great. It's very substantial. So our guest this evening is Angela Shook, right?
Shook.
And let me tell you a little bit about Angela. She is an end-of-life doula, a hospice volunteer, and the past president of the National End-of-Life Doula Alliance, or NEDA. She served on the NEDA board from 2018 to 2022 and has earned her NEDA proficiency badge. She's a graduate of the UVM End-of-Life Doula Professional Certificate Program, the UVM Companion Animal Certificate Program, INELDA and Lifespan Doulas, as well as numerous other trainings for end-of-life care. She is also an instructor for the Doula Program at the University of Vermont and offers multiple end-of-life educational support groups and workshops. And she is a veterinary doula with PetWell Mobile Vet, where she assists with euthanasia and end-of-life care and support of companion animals. And Angela also serves on the board of the Charlevoix, did I say that right?
You did.
Charlevoix Area Humane Society, and volunteers with the Elk Country Animal Shelter. She is a level 2 Reiki practitioner and has completed the Animal Reiki course through the Animal Hospice Group. She is the owner of Dragonfly End of Life Services, which you can find at www.angelashook.com, and the co-author of the Doula Kit, the Doula Toolkit, excuse me. And we have the link in the description. It was the number one new release in pet loss on Amazon. Also, there's a link there for the Companion Animal End-of-Life Doula Professional Certificate Program at UVM, if you're interested in being part of that or joining that and getting that certificate. So Angela is going to get us started, and Nancy is going to fire the first question for Angela.
Because we were talking, you know, a little bit before we started, and I think it would be really helpful for me and Ken, but our audience, to know what exactly a doula does, and then to parlay that into the working with companion animals or the parents and, you know, of the companion animals.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for asking. I love being able to talk about this work and just letting people know that end-of-life doulas are out there to provide the support to the dying and to their loved ones, as you mentioned. So end-of-life doulas, at the very basics of what it is they provide non-medical, holistic support and comfort to the people who are preparing for or are experiencing end of life by offering education, guidance, emotional, social, and spiritual care, logistical and practical assistance, and so much more. So not only before and during, but even after death. So that could be as simple as companionship and respite care that is so needed for those caregivers, offering life reviews and helping with legacy projects to leave behind. Just being that presence to help go through that experience that we all will go through at some point. And because our pets mean so much to us, as we talked about a little bit earlier before the show, you know, their death can be just as emotionally devastating, in some cases even more so than the death of a loved one, of a human loved one. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just as an end-of-life doula serves those nearing death and those who love them, there's a space for that companion animal doula to provide that non-medical comfort and support to these special animals and their caretakers as well. Mm-hmm. I could assist by helping assess quality of life, working with the veterinarian. Really helping to create and support that palliative end of care plan. And it doesn't take the place of anything medical. It does not take away that need for the veterinarian care, but oftentimes help support that and help share information so that those diagnosis and prognosis are better understood. Providing those resources, preparing families and children for what to expect. That's actually one of the things I enjoy doing the most. A lot of times working with these families who are losing a family pet, it's the first time those kids are experiencing death.
Mm-hmm. Angela, tell us, how is a doula different from a therapist?
Well, with a doula, we don't need, you know, to be honest, a doula doesn't need to be trained. There's some really amazing training programs out there, but I believe that every one of us has the ability to be a doula, because really it's providing that unconditional positive support, that non-judgmental support. We may have some experiences where we can help you through because we've been through others and we've learned maybe how to navigate a hospice system or how to, which questions to ask and help to be an advocate. But we're not providing medical care. We're not professional mental health therapists.
But it's interesting because you're almost like a case management too.
I like that. Yeah.
Right? And you do that with an emotional support piece.
Correct. With the companion animal doula, a lot of times I've actually been able to help prepare that family for what to expect prior to a euthanasia appointment, and sometimes even sit there with them. And in some cases, be that presence for the animal if for whatever reason the family can't be there. We also really help with helping with after death memorial and legacy work, transporting the remains in the body to whichever disposition center they choose, and providing grief support. I think that's one of the things that we can do the most. So many people feel isolated when they're losing their animals and don't feel like they have anyone to go to validate that grief that they're feeling.
It almost sounds to me like the role is of a loving, intimate friend. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it's, who knows what this is like, has been through it probably personally, has seen it over and over again, and can just be almost like a real intimate as you're going through the experience of preparing for and then losing and then grieving your lost loved one. Does that fit?
It does. It does. Yeah. I really like the word, the intimate, the friend, because that's what we're trying to be, is that companion. Not taking over any of those decisions, but supporting you through it yourself.
Explaining it too, right? Yeah. Because there's especially, I like when you said, the quality of life, because so many pet guardians have such a hard time determining what that is. And some are okay. Some they're good in some aspects, or they're babies, but they're not so much in others. And how do you make that determination? And working with a vet, of course, but that extra support.
It is. It's the hardest decision to make. And one of the tools that I use often is just a simple calendar, and just each day doing a happy face or a sad face, and tracking did our pet have a good day today or a bad day, and then having that visual representation at the end of the month to look at and say, okay, this takes away the emotion from it a little bit, and the heart, and looking at it objectively and saying, we're seeing more bad days. Maybe it is time to start considering this, or maybe we're noticing some signs of pain. Maybe that's a thing we can bring to the veterinarian team then and say, maybe some pain relief is what we need. And maybe we can have more of those good days. But it's just an easy way to do that tracking to help identify and trend what is happening with their animal that they may just be too close to see.
Right. They would be, because they're very anxious, right? Because the animal may be sick. So they're not really thinking clearly at times. Right.
And you can be objective, because you've seen so much of this kind of moving toward the transition, and because we hear so frequently from people how difficult it is to make the decision about the timing of euthanasia, if they're going to do euthanasia, and then also just whether or not to do it, because there's this whole question of I often hear this in the group is it killing my friend? And we always talk about how do you, what's your language for what euthanasia is, what it does?
Oftentimes I tell my clients that this, as difficult as it is for them, it's time for their animal's pain and suffering to stop and ours to start. It's a final gift of love to be able to release your animal from suffering and from pain.
Nice. Also, the disease may be, it's the disease that's really killing the animal, or the accident, or whatever that is, not you, right? It is the gift, right? That's great.
I love that idea that you're challenging us to say it's time to let them let go of their suffering, and for me to begin to suffer. That's really powerful, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy. I believe I had a 18-month period where I lost all four of my animals and went through a little bit of everything, which by no means am I an expert. Every death, every experience is just as individual as that animal, that person. But I had an older dog that just was aged and elderly and she just grew too old. I had a dog that came down with a sudden cancer and was gone within 2 weeks. I had an animal that we had to, unfortunately, the heartbreaking decision of behavioral euthanasia because he had become a danger to the family and had hurt us. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I had fostered a hospice animal that I knew I would only have for a few months. But still,
she wouldn't have anticipated that. I mean, exactly. With all the other three, with the hospice one.
Yeah. So having some of those experiences, I'm never going to be the person to tell a client or a friend or anyone, I know exactly how you're feeling.
Oh, sure.
I
don't. No, yeah.
But I can share empathy. I can share maybe things that I've learned that were helpful. Really, I think one of you said it. I think this is one of my favorite things that I get to do is just kind of this gentle education. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people don't know what the signs of pain may be for their animals, and animals can be stoic.
Very stoic.
Right? They don't outwardly able to share that this hurts sometimes. So they may just not know. So sharing some of those, you know, guidelines of what to look for pain and those nonverbal clues, sharing what some of the common symptoms of death and dying and decline are in our animals so that they can better see that as well and make a more prepared decision. A lot of times they don't even know what their options are. They might not know that in-home euthanasia is available. They might not know that they could cremate their pet and have their ashes returned. And when you have this going on, when you're going through the pain of losing your animal, the last thing you want to do is be like researching things and making decisions.
Oh, yeah. Well, the pain and the anxiety is too much to be able to really concentrate on that.
And you don't know to ask questions if you don't know that it's even out there. So I really like what you said. It is having a friend. It's somebody to walk this path with you and help you as you stumble and hold your hand and help carry some of that pain that you're taking on by taking care of your part of your family, one of your best friends.
Yeah. I remember I had a couple of Flemish giant rabbits, and they both lived to be about 9 years old. And when the second one was clearly very, very, was quite ill, I remember the veterinarian saying to me that you will see pain with him grinding his teeth, which I wouldn't have known. And so when he was doing that, that's when I knew it was time to take him to the vet because I didn't want him to suffer anymore, but animals are so stoic, as you said. And, you know, some aren't, some are drama queens. But I have a dog who is a bit of a drama queen. but the thing that always strikes me when we have this conversation is how precious our time is. I have dogs, both of whom are 2.5 years old. And every day I realize the time I'll have with them is very short.
I think that's sometimes why we have such a deep attachment to our animals. Yep. You know, we go into this relationship with them knowing that their lifespans are shorter than ours, that our expected time with them is finite and precious, right? So maybe we love them a little bit harder because of that. We're fitting in all that time and that love into that shorter time frame that we have.
Well, and the other part is I have a lot of clients whose their dogs died early, right? Because they got sick. They never anticipated that, right? Mm-hmm. They were, we have 10 years or 14 years or whatever that is.
You never know.
And in 4 years, they died.
That
really is part of that grief that they just can't get over, right? I mean, they weren't mad. It's not fair, you know, they died.
Sure. And I think those are such normal emotions to have at that time, to have that shock and disbelief and anger. And it doesn't make sense. You know, even if we understand logically that we can't protect our animals from death, we sure want to.
Yes.
Yeah. And let me ask you, it seems to me that a doula would be somebody who is physically present nearby. Is that always the case? Do you do some of your work over Zoom like this or WhatsApp or some other technology?
I do. I do a nice mix of both.
You do.
With the work that I do with the mobile veterinarian that you mentioned in my introduction, with those, I'm very present on site. helping to visually assess that animal. But even before I meet with them, a lot of times I'll email them some quality of life checklist or mm-hmm. some tips and pointers to look at. But I'm always part of those appointments of getting to assess that quality of life, talking to them, just, you know, what are your thoughts and plans? Do you have questions? And being present during and before that euthanasia appointment, if that happens. But I also do a lot of remote work as well. I was actually, this one has just been so exciting for me. Just a few weeks ago, somebody in Norway found me based on my website. Mm-hmm. And they don't have a lot of the similar, I would say from what I've learned, that the veterinary care there is a little bit behind where we are in the US. And she lived alone. She didn't know anything about how to transfer her large dog who was getting ill. She didn't know how to help him. And just kind of talking to her, like validating how much this dog had been a part of her life, how she already had so much anticipatory grief, helping her do some of the research in her local area to find if there was a veterinarian that could come home, or if they had a mobile veterinarian, or ways that we could help that. Thank goodness for Google Translate, because I needed that a lot.
Yeah, sure. Wow.
But kind of like what we talked about with technology, it's an amazing tool. It really does give you the availability to help others more than just the ones you can physically be in that space with. I provide a lot of grief support that way as well with others all over the country. And I liked what you were saying earlier about, you know, share your stories. I think that's so important. I think there's so much healing that comes through storytelling. Yeah. And I love that. Even if they're not ones that you're sharing on the air, you're responding to them. They're being heard. You know, their emotions are being validated. And I think that's really important. And I think sometimes that's the, whether it's sharing of education and resources and ideas, a lot of times it's just bearing witness to this pain and having someone to talk to who can not judge them and just hold space for them.
Yeah, so it sounds like a fair amount of what you do is just validate the person's experience.
Yeah, which is necessary and helpful. And you, and legacy, what's the now, what do you do people, but you do that with animals too, like their life story, their, you know, legacy, that kind of that thing, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. So legacy memorial work, which, you know, a lot of, like some of the plaques that you shared, finding some of those resources, doing paw prints and nose prints, things like that, the little fur trimmings. But one of the things I really liked doing lately is helping others do some journaling and storytelling about their animals, writing down favorite memories of them or putting them in touch with photographers. Here where I live, I've got a beautiful photographer who actually does complimentary packages for end-of-life pets and their owners.
Oh, that's really nice.
It's so
that's
beautiful. Great. Yeah, so having that, there's some really great gentle and fun prompts out there, because sometimes people are so focused in it hurts right now, or you know, the anticipatory grief of losing them, that it's good to remind them of some of those fun times and asking them, you know, how did they get their name, or how did your dog end up in your life? And it just gets them talking, and I really encourage them to capture that, whether recording it, you know, on a phone or a recorder, or writing it down. There's, like I said, I think there's a lot of healing that goes into that storytelling, and especially for some of the kiddos in these families, they have that to go back to.
Memory. Well, that's really important, because a lot of people say to us, we don't want to forget. We're afraid we're going to forget them.
Right.
So, and they often feel in early grief, because our cognition, our memories, everything is all a mess, that they have, they can't hold on to the memories very, very clearly. And we'll encourage them to recognize that things will change over time, that things will settle, and they'll be more themselves in a bit of time. It's always tricky, because you never want to tell somebody who's in deep pain that they're going to definitely feel better, because it can feel invalidating. It can feel dismissive.
Yeah.
But so you have to be careful with that. But it is important to note that. That grief messes us up a lot, and then we begin to settle back into a more consistent way of thinking and remembering and all that stuff.
I just talked to somebody about that this week, who was telling me that she's having this brain fog right now. She had just lost her pet a few weeks ago, and having a hard time focusing on work, and she's having a hard time focusing on anything except for that poor dog's last day. And, you know, I love that I was able to share with her that what you said, you know, I can't guarantee that this is going to get better. It might soften with time, but you're always going to hurt a little bit. I think we move through it. We don't move on.
No, we move through it, but it's there. It's right. become, we integrate it into our lives.
Exactly. But giving some hope that there is resolution, and, mm-hmm. and there is a time where you'll be able to look at those memories with joy and happiness mm-hmm. and love, and it won't hurt as much.
Yep. So Angela, let me just share some of the comments we're getting.
Yeah.
So thank you for your work, from Grace.
Thank you, Grace.
And Jindy says, how wonderful. I wish I thought to involve a doula when I struggle to decide when to say goodbye to my soul cat. Quality of life scales are arbitrary, and unfortunately vets can be unhelpful. So just having a person work that through with you could be so helpful. And then Grace again says, I wish there had been a doula around when I had to make that decision for Gizmo, my soulmate. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of little Gizmo.
Oh, I'm so single and live alone. I wish we could be there for Gizmo too.
Yeah. I am single and live alone at the ER. At the ER vet clinic, I was numb. Well, yeah, when you're there and that's happening, you're so anxious. You can't really process the information a lot of the time, no matter how loving and kind the vet is trying to be. That's a hard moment to be attentive. Having a doula, and Grace says, having a doula explain things and be a comforting presence would have meant and helped so much. That's really wonderful. So we just want to ask if you've got final words for.
Well, I have a question. How do you get your clients? I mean, how do you, is it word of mouth? You have a website? I mean, how does this happen?
A few different ways. So definitely working with a local vet has been really helpful. I'm also on the board of the Humane Charlevoix Area Humane Society, and help with some of their events and working with their staff. It's really just talking about it. You know, it was mentioned real briefly, but we're kind of a society that doesn't like to talk about death very much.
Yeah. No, and we don't. So
if you are somebody who is talking about death, it gets noticed. And so I think that's been a lot of it, just by sharing some of the stories and some of the lessons I've learned of some of the animals that I've been around, by offering just to sit with that and be with
people. To learn from them, from the animals and their human, you know, parents and guardians,
right? It's just word of mouth. It's just, I've been in the end of life field for about 6 years now. And so I've been supporting humans for that time. And really it's just been the past few years that I've been taking on animals. And honestly, that's been taking a little bit more of my passion lately. So I really believe it's just talking about it. And, you know, I'm the person who, if you meet for the first time and you mention you have a cat, I'm going to want to see all the pictures on your phone.
Of course.
You know, and so you end up talking.
You have to know. We have to see.
Well, it's been really tremendous having you with us, Angela. I want to remind people again that they can find Angela at www.angelashook, that's AngelaShook.com. And you can find all the information linked to this program as well. We thank you so much.
Thank you. This was very helpful, and it was lovely.
You have such a kind and loving presence. Yeah. It's really wonderful to have the opportunity to meet you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. And hopefully, like with Grace and some of the others that have mentioned, now that people know that this role is out there,
we
can help you. So I'm hoping that if one or two people find a doula because of this, I will be so thankful. So thank you for helping me spread the word that we're here to help.
That's great. Thank you. I just want to also remind people, if you haven't already, please consider subscribing on YouTube, maybe leaving a comment, thumbs up, wherever you see this video cast or the audio version. That's always helpful. It helps other people gain access to the program. So thank you once again, Angela.
Thank you. Nancy,
great to always see you, Nancy. See you next week.
Take care.